Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Let's continue our teaching, The Force of Faith, by reading again from the book of Mark chapter 11. I'll read from verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Now, he answered because Peter had remarked that the tree that he cursed was dead. Verse 23, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Now, verse 25 is where we looked at last time, and I want to continue from today. He said, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. And if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Now, last time and the time before that, I was explaining the issue of nurturing your faith. We have talked at length to explain the fact that faith is very important, and that whatever God wants to do for us in life, if he doesn't see faith in our hearts, it becomes difficult for him. When he was talking about God avenging us of our adversaries, avenging us of poverty, avenging us of diseases, avenging us of problems in life, that is, giving us legal protection against those problems. He said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" That is, without faith, whatever God wants to do will be difficult for him to do. He said in the book of Hebrews that the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those that heard it. That even though God gives a promise, there's a message I preached some time ago titled "Poor Jonah." And in that message, what I tried to explain is the fact that Jonah could have passed as a false prophet if he looked at the life of the city of Nineveh. Because Jonah went there and broadcasted the word that God gave him, which was Nineveh will be destroyed in 40 days. At the end of 40 days, Nineveh was not destroyed. But we have details to know why Nineveh was not destroyed. The reason was because the people of Nineveh gathered, they prayed, and their prayer caused God to suspend the judgment that he had passed upon the city. And when I was teaching that message called "Poor Jonah," I explained to people that once the promise of God comes, it is not automatic that it will be manifested. But actually what happens is that we can modify the manifestation thereof, or the timing of that manifestation, by certain things that we do. Now, the issue of the city of Nineveh was a negative promise, you know how to say, it was a word concerning judgment. But the same principle applies even if the promise is positive. That is, God speaks to somebody like Abraham that your child, your wife will bear a child. That those words, they have come forth, but there are things we must do to make those words come to pass. And when I said "Poor Jonah," the reason why I said "Poor Jonah" in that message, which is still available in our archives, is to bring out the fact that Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. We remember that point. That Jonah said, "No, this Nineveh, I am not going." And when I was a young boy, I thought that the reason why Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh was because the people of Nineveh were wicked, so wicked that if he prophesied against them, they would kill him. But later on, I realized that that was not really the reason. If you go and read the story in the book of Jonah, you get the point I'm making. The reason why he didn't want to go to Nineveh was that he was used to the fact that God oftentimes will embarrass him. That is, he will say, in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed, and 40 days will come, and Nineveh will not be destroyed. And that happened again. If you go and read that story, at the end of 40 days, of course, you know the story how Jonah first refused to go, and he tried to go down to Tarshish, and then eventually there was a problem on the way, and then he had to be cast into the sea, and the fish swallowed him, and after 3 days he was vomited up again onto the beach, and then he now agreed to go to Nineveh. Finally, when he went to Nineveh, he did exactly what God said. He said, 40 days hence, and Nineveh will be destroyed. At the end of 40 days, what happened to Nineveh? Nineveh wasn't destroyed. And I remember the comment of Jonah. He said, "Was this not what I said while I was still yet in my own country? That is, I knew that you were a merciful God, that I would go out and shout, 40 days hence and Nineveh will be destroyed. And 40 days will come and go and Nineveh will not be destroyed." And people will start saying, "This man is a false prophet." And it was quite an embarrassment for Jonah. And if you look at the context of scriptures, the way the whole thing went, you know that this must have happened to him before. And that's why he was angry when God said, "Go and prophesy again." Now, I'm bringing out something here, that the fact that Jonah prophesied and it didn't come to pass was not because Jonah was a false prophet. That's why I said poor Jonah. That is, he was going about some people, it went on record in their lives that Jonah is a false prophet. Because he said a place would be destroyed and it wasn't destroyed. But what happened in that situation was that the people prayed, they begged God, the king declared a fast, and everybody made supplications, and for that reason, God's heart was turned. Now, what am I using that to explain? That God gives a promise, okay, that if we don't do what is necessary, it might not come to pass, even though the word of God is true. So he said the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those that heard it. So that's why we have been emphasizing the issue of this matter of faith. That faith is so important if we are going to receive what God promises. Now, this is a point. Since it's so important and it's our responsibility, I said last time, we must nurture our faith. You must know that there is nothing else you have as a primary assignment in life but to keep your faith intact. And that's why for the last two sessions, I've been explaining the matter of nurturing your faith. I've explained that you must be careful the kind of company you keep. You must love the word of God. And last time I was talking about that matter of unforgiveness. Because spiritual things, I always say, they are real. Your spirit is a living being. That is a living organism, almost by itself. That is, the same way your physical flesh can eat poison and it will become weak, there are things that poison your spirit. And therein lies the ability to believe. That is, there is a force that emanates out of your spirit that makes you believe naturally or disbelieve naturally. And I'm going to explain that in further details as we go on. That, see, there are spiritual gems, if I may use that expression. There are things you do that leaks away the ability to believe from your soul. That is, you will try to believe and you will not be able to believe. I say something to illustrate this point quite a lot of times, and that's the issue of the life of Pharaoh. No matter the amount of miracles that Moses will do, Pharaoh will not believe what he was saying about God. Inside him, the ability to believe was no longer existent. And that's why God will use an expression like this, I will harden his heart. Please get the point. That there are things we do that makes us of a hard heart. So even though we hear the word, it doesn't profit us. Even though a correct doctrine is preached and the promise of God is given to us, we don't have the ability to imbibe it. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. So this is the point I'm making. Unforgiveness is one of those spiritual gems. All right? It's a virus in there. If you allow it to reside inside your heart, your words will not have power. You will not have the ability to say things with confidence and that they will come to pass just as you have said. Because you wouldn't have that spiritual power. The reason Jesus was giving us here is a matter of unforgiveness. There are other issues, but I've been talking about this unforgiveness thing. Because one, the reason why a lot of people are offended and they need to forgive people is that they have placed their hope in other people and the people will not help. Now, I remember I was talking to a man, not a young man, I was a middle-aged man, and I was trying to discuss with him so as to solve some of the problems that he had. I was offering my assistance, I was offering my help to analyzing the issues of his life. And he would mention one of his relatives, that particular lady, that my auntie or that my cousin. Okay, I've already marked her down. The time I needed her, she didn't come to my aid. By the time she went over about three people like that, I have to call him and say, excuse me, sir, we are here to try and help your situation. I think you forget all these people. This is the reason why God has not been able to help you. Now, I'm implying other words now. That is, I didn't tell him that like that, but I'm trying to help us to understand that this is the reason why God has not been able to help you. You have placed your eyes on these people, all right? That as soon as I leave school, this man should be able to give me a job, help me write and talk to some of his friends. Or now that I'm about to start out in business, you see, you keep on telling the stories around, hoping that one of the people that are hearing your stories will believe so much in you that they want to invest in your business. The fact is that your vision is not everybody's vision. It is not everybody you talk to that will catch the fire of your vision. It is just impossible. You just have to realize that fact, that you can talk to somebody thinking he will believe what you are saying, but he's not even listening to you. He has his own problems. Are you getting my point? He has his own problems. You must learn to focus on God and on God alone. That thing is very important. You learn to focus only on God, who is the helper that can help us now. So that's what Jesus was saying here, that a lot of people are offended, all right, because they have focused on other people and the people did not come through. And I'm explaining again today, please forget that if there's anybody that seemed to have, disappointed you, this is not the time to remember such people. you know, negatively. It is a time to remember them in prayer and bless them. All right? But even Jesus said, pray for them that despitefully use you. Pray for those people and let your focus be on God. Now, there's one other thing I want to add, because I already mentioned this one last time. I want to add something on this matter of unforgiveness. Sometimes it's not just about disappointment. It's that somebody consciously did evil against you. That is, it's not as if you had a deal or you had an expectation of the person. But somebody took something that belonged to you. He did you evil. He hurt you in a bad fashion. Not just a matter of disappointment. Now, I want to explain something. God says something clearly. If you read the book of Romans chapter 12, he said, give room for the vengeance of God, because God has said, vengeance is mine and I will repay. There are two things I want you to see there. Number one, he said, vengeance is mine. Number two, he says, I will take that which is mine. Do you understand my point? Paul said it like this in that Romans chapter 12, verse 19. He said, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, that is the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And I said, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What am I trying to explain? Is this matter of forgiveness still? There are people who have done you hurt. This is not just a matter of somebody disappointing you, you know, coming below the expectation you had of them. No. This is something in which you had no relationship with the person, but they came out a thief as an example, and they hurt you, an armed robber as an example, and they did something to you that hurts you down to your soul. The word of God is telling us again, give room for God to avenge you. God didn't just say forget. He said, allow me avenge you. Focus, now I'm adding words to it now, focus on your destiny. Focus on the things I want you to do. Focus on your faith and don't be distracted by trying to take vengeance. Are you getting my point? Because he said, vengeance is not only mine. If you take vengeance, you are depriving me of what is mine. That's what God is saying. He said, but vengeance is not only mine. I will take that vengeance. So you can take it for granted that if somebody hurts you as a child of God without any reason, and if you just forget it and put your minds on your faith, God will take vengeance in his appropriate time and according to his will, according to his own desires. Please let me settle on the matter of your faith. That is what is most important to me. And that's the fact that your faith must be nurtured. There are viruses in the realm of the spirit that leaks out spiritual energy that brings disease into your soul so that you're unable to stay steadfast in faith. And what I have concluded speaking about is the matter of unforgiveness. But there are other ones. And I'm putting all of them under a caption, the hindrances to faith. That is the things that we focus on that wears out our faith. They are like spiritual diseases that makes it impossible for us to believe. Now, one of those things I want to bring out, we'll take it from the book of 1 John chapter 2, and then we'll see the thing very clearly. Look, let me say this again. Faith is very important. Whatever you can come to rest in your heart concerning, that is, you become persuaded. You see, a lot of people confuse faith, okay, with desires. Faith is not desire. Faith is assurance in God that I have that affects the way I perceive things. If you see that context in the book of Mark chapter 11, when they asked Jesus, look at what has happened. How did you do it? All right, Peter was saying, in effect, you spoke against a tree. You didn't even pray about the tree. You just spoke against the tree. And I must say something to you. Jesus said, made those statements casually. That is, he looked at the tree and out of disappointment, he said something like this, useless tree. Like we say in Pidgin English, it no go better for you. You know that kind of thing. He just said it casually and kept on going. He probably would not have bothered to look at the tree again. Were it not that Peter pointed his attention to it? This is what I'm trying to say. When he was going to answer Peter, what did he say? Have faith in God. Do you understand that? But what was he doing? Exercising faith in God, trying to kill a tree? No. His faith in God had built up spiritual strength into him so that when he looked at the tree and he spoke against that tree, the forces of the air went against the tree. And I believe things like germs began to attack it from the roots. And then that's why the Bible says that that thing died from the roots, all right, upwards. Now, I'm making something here. Faith has two levels there from what I have said. The baseline thing is faith in God. And it imparts to you the conviction and the certainty and the assurance with which you face matters in life. That is, sometimes you may be looking. Maybe you come and your child is sick. Now, you are not even really praying for the child. And you just say simply to the child, this child will be well. Now, you may never have thought seriously about it, but because you have settled your faith in God in life, are you getting what I'm saying? Therefore, you are able to just speak without thinking. Let's forget the issue of a sick child. Most of us will readily remember to pray for our sick children. Let's talk about the sick business. Sometimes you are not even thinking about it. They will tell you that, oh, you invested so much in the stocks of this company, and it has already gone down in value. And without thinking, you just say, it will rise again. Now listen to me. You've not thought so much about it. You just said it casually, it will rise again. Or you release an album, maybe you're a musician, or you wrote a book, you're an author, or you applied for a job, okay, and as an applicant. And then they tell you that the book is not doing very well. And you say, don't worry, it's time we come. Are you getting my point? You spoke casually, but because you are one that has strong faith in God, even though you did not consciously pray about it, listen to me, just like the words of Jesus sent out spiritual forces and they engineered worms to kill that tree from the root, in the same manner, the words you speak will send out spiritual forces and they will engineer progress for your books as an example. They will engineer progress for your seeds as an example. You will speak casually. They say, okay, oh, you've done this work, it's not so good. Say, don't worry, we'll do a better one. You say it casually. You're not thinking about it. Are you getting what I'm saying? These are spiritual things work. You just say it casually. But that's it. Maybe you recorded in a studio that was not very good before. Before you know what's happening, God causes a man that has a lot of money and has a lot of vision to build a better one. And all you did was to speak casually. Don't worry, we will do a better one. Please, I hope you're getting the way faith works. Or you send in an application to one or two companies, and they say that the result's out. And you just say casually, don't worry, they will bring out another list. You're not even seriously praying. You're just a man. Listen, that's why I say you must nurture your faith. We only think about faith as when you have to pray and join hands and speak in deep tongues and shout to heaven and call God all kinds of names that even you don't understand. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, we think that's when faith works. No, it's not like that alone. There is a realm for that kind of faith. But the one that Jesus operated was that he just spoke casually to a tree because he was offended. Are you getting what I'm saying? Maybe you want to buy a car as an example. And he said that, oh, the car you want to buy is 1 million naira. And you had already prepared about 750,000 naira. Because you are a man of faith, casually you just say, don't worry, we'll get one better than this for this 750 that we have. And you're not really thinking about it. And that's it. Suddenly, now if I say this, some people won't like it, but as a matter of fact, God will cause distress in the house of a sinner. Do you understand? That has a car better than that. God will cause distress in his house. And that's the next thing. Suddenly he will need money. And he will need 750,000 naira. And somebody walk up to you and say, there is a car like this for sale. And it's just 750,000 naira. Are you interested in buying? And you say, yes, most certainly. I am interested. And that is it. You take your money and you go and pay for the car. And that's it. The words that you spoke casually, they have come to pass. It's not when you shut your eyes, hold hands with somebody and shout. That's the only time that faith works. No, it's not like that. There are times you just speak casually. You speak about that application. Say, don't worry, they will bring out another list. And that's it. Suddenly, the MD calls with the chairman and everybody disagrees. Say, no, there is bias in this list. Cancel it and let's have another one. He said, no, we cannot cancel the people that were already given the notification. He said, no problem. Let's just do another one to balance the question. And God will do all of that. Listen to me. Okay? Just to make sure that the words that you spoke comes to pass. What we don't understand is that faith is not just a matter of desire. It's a matter of conviction of the spirit. That is, I attack life positively. I've said this a lot of times and I keep on saying it. When I say something like Nigeria will be good, or Nigeria is improving every day, or the economy is improving, or I make positive statements about the nation, I am not speaking according to mere observation. I am speaking according to a conviction that has come into my soul because of an infusion of the Holy Spirit. Are you getting my point? And that's what I'm saying people must guard. You must guard that faith that God pours into your life because it affects everything that you do. A lot of people, all they have is negative faith. And then there are two things about negative faith. The Bible says that he that is slack in business is brother to him that destroys. That is, the man who doesn't say anything about his life, who does not say anything about his business, who does not say any positive thing about his wife, either even the one he hasn't married, or his children, even the one he has not had yet, or doesn't say anything positive about his nation's economy. The Bible says that he is a brother to him that destroys. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, it is not just about being a negative person, but being a neutral person also is a negative thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, we must guard our faith so that when we are speaking about our nation, when we are speaking about our lives, we are saying things that are bringing forth positive results. Because that's what I was saying. A lot of people, either in idleness or by conscious activity, they are releasing negative words. And even if they are not consciously releasing it, their lack of spiritual intensity to pour out positive words is resonating in heaven as a release of negative words. That is why I have said it again and again, that we must nurture our faith. It is our responsibility. Now, so I was explaining that there are things that are spiritual diseases, like unforgiveness. Another one I said we should read is from the book of 1 John, chapter 2. Let me just start from verse 15. It said, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Now, there's a point I'm trying to bring out here. Let me just pause for a while on this and make a statement. Sometimes we misunderstand the meaning of the word faith. Now, let me say this. Faith is not a way by which we short-circuit or shortcut divine order. By that, let me explain what I'm saying. It is not that we are teaching that young men can get up and suddenly declare that, listen, by tomorrow, I am going to be a billionaire. And they will learn to conjure up the faith so strong in their hearts. Or that a lot of people like to do. They say, I'm believing God for a car. I'm a 21-year-old youth copper. And I want to drive a brand new Lexus LS430 by tomorrow. So let me go and sow a seed today in church. I give an offering towards that car. And then I muster up my faith so that by tomorrow I will have a brand new LS430. Now let me say this. A lot of those statements are driven by what John said we should not love. The things that are in the world. They are driven by the lust of the eyes. They are driven by the lust of the flesh. And they are driven by the pride of life. Now, faith is not a way by which God helps us satisfy, okay, our pride, our lusts in life. No. The primary thing about faith is a way in which we walk and find ourselves pleasing to God. And once we are pleasing to God, he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you." This is the point I'm making. That the lust of the eyes sometimes directs people to prayer and to spiritual gymnastics of faith. A man who's up in the morning starts declaring, "Today I have the car. Today I have the car. Today I have a millionaire." Now, I will say something. That faith is not the way by which we shall circle divine order. Listen, wealth is not just a matter of desire. Wealth is a matter of proven responsibility. That is, if I have shown God I can handle 1,000, then God will give me 1,000,000. Are you getting the point I'm making? If I've shown God that I can handle 1,000,000, then God will give me 100,000,000. That's just the divine order that the Lord uses. I cannot by faith shall secure that. Because I gave an offering today and I have declared over my offering. Like we often say in something I don't agree with, people say, "Okay, send your offering on errand. Speak to your offering to go and bring something for you." I said that no, it's not necessary. We give offerings so that we can please God. We give offerings so that we can do what is right in the presence of God. Faith is not the way by which we satisfy our lust. Those things that we do actually kill the real faith in our lives. That's what I'm trying to get across. When we are trying to feed our lusts, what we do is that we are killing the real faith that is inside our lives or inside our heart. Because a lot of people become disappointed. I have seen people that gave and gave and gave offering in church. They supported their church. They did everything. At the end of the day, they became discouraged and they walked away. What was their reason? Because the man who told them to give said, "If you give today, I swear by my God that in 3 months' time, you will have your own house." And 3 months' time came and went, the man didn't get anything. And another man came and said that the reason was because you didn't give enough. Do it all over again. And the man did it, and with a lot of promises attached, after many years, the man realized that I have just been chasing things that I'm not getting. And he becomes discouraged. Next time you tell the man, give to the work of God, because he was brought up with selfish motivation in all the gifts they had given in previous times, his heart is resistant. Are you getting what I'm saying? What am I saying? He has killed the real faith in his heart because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Let me say this clearly to us. When we do good works as Christians, we must learn to do them for the sake of doing them. We must learn to do them for the sake of simply being pleasing to God. We must learn to do them so that God will be happy that we have worked in a manner pleasing to Him. If we use selfishness, do you follow my point? To serve God. That is, God, please, once I have given this money, don't forget me. They said that, some people say sometimes, they say, look, if you have any trouble, just go and take your tithe booklet and look at all the checks you have used to give offering and wave it to God. Listen to me, that is spiritual insanity. You cannot do that. It is not right. We do things so that we'll be pleasing to God. The Bible says, who has given to God that he might demand back from him? Are you getting what I'm going to say? You cannot give to God so that you can demand back from him. Paul said that he that freely gave us his only begotten son, how much will he not with him freely give us other things? There is nothing you want in life that God will not give you because of simply asking. James said that when you ask and you don't receive, again, that we are back to the matter of the lust of the flesh now. He said it is because your motive is wrong. That you ask so as to spend it on the lust of your flesh. That if you asked so as to do that which is right, then you will discover that faith will actually be stirred up in your heart and you will speak words, listen to this, that will actually generate spiritual forces and bring that thing into your life. Are you getting my point? Listen, we must, as children of God, be careful that we don't use our faith as a way of servicing our personal desires, our lusts. Faith is first and foremost supposed to be built in our hearts so that we will please God. That's why Jesus said it like this. He said, have faith in God. Once I have faith in God, then most certainly every other thing will be added. When we use faith to try and satisfy our personal lust and our personal desires, what do we find? We find out that eventually we become discouraged and the real faith begins to leak out of our lives. Now, next time I'm going to continue that matter of faith. Let's look at it when it comes to foolishness. Can a young man just wake up one morning and say, I want to believe God. By tomorrow, I'll be the president of America. Now, listen to me. With God, nothing shall be impossible. God will take you through a process to build up your faith to a level. Do you follow my point? Now, you cannot, listen to me, you cannot short-circuit that process. God has a way of taking people through experiences in life. Because without those experiences, the assurance of faith may not be able to be established in your heart. Listen, there's a difference between faith and foolishness. There is a difference. A young man came to me once. He was seriously broke and he was in debt. He was owing a lot of people and all of that. And by the time he finished talking with me, I asked him a simple question. The money you said your father gave you to go and pay your school fees, was that what you used to do that crusade you were talking about? He said, yes. I said, you're a rogue. That's a student. Your father gave you money to go and pay school fees. You don't have the right to use it to go and do crusade. He thought it was faith. That let me use my money wrongly. I said, listen, my friend, if you're a civil servant by now, you'll be in jail. They will have reported to EFCC. I'm going to explain something here. We can't deceive God. The Bible says, behold, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That is, there is something in our hearts, and that's what God is looking at. There is a proper order. There is a divine order. Faith does not allow us break that divine order. Do you follow my point? Faith allows us to walk normally in a fashion that is pleasing to God. And then once we have done that, God pours a gentle breeze of assurance in life into our hearts so that we look at a bad situation and say, don't worry, it will be all right. And indeed, most certainly, it will turn out all right. I hope you've gotten my point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.